You're listening to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
Hello and welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. No JC Talon this week, and we are going to connect with Arthur Arkish. He is on his way to Hallis Hall on this Wednesday morning for a press conference, going to deliver you all of the Bears news at ChicagoFootball.com. But here with the Fantasy Podcast, we are going to start with some daily fantasy sports news, and then we're going to connect with Arthur Arkish and give you our top plays for the week and get you ready for some successful fantasy football this week. But again, we're going to start with some daily fantasy sports news. There was a bill that was introduced Tuesday in the Illinois General Assembly by State Rep. Michael Zalewski, a Democrat from Riverside, introducing the Fantasy Contest Act, which would establish some policies and procedures for the operation of fantasy contests in the state. If you haven't been listening to the podcast, or if you've been under a rock, really, Daily Fantasy Sports has come under plenty of controversy, plenty of scrutiny across the country. Nevada has banned it. There are several states that are taking a look at whether or not DFS is legal, but this appears to be a bit of a win for at least the DFS industry and certainly DFS players in Illinois. Zalewski told the Associated Press, quote, "Players with interests are protected. We don't have people playing these games who shouldn't be playing. We should have some best practices to make sure everyone has a level playing field," unquote. So here's what the bill does. Let's just sort of break it down for you. It would prevent employees of fantasy contest operators like FanDuel or DraftKings from playing in a DFS contest. That's already been taken care of. FanDuel and DraftKings have already banned their own employees from playing on not only their own sites, but each other's site as well as any other DFS site. All of this stemming from the DraftKings data leak about a month ago now. Zalewski's bill does put a procedure in place to prevent sharing any sort of confidential information, such as ownership, percentage of players, or the lineups of, say, a particularly sharp player. And this was really my biggest concern. You heard me talk about it with Joe Ostrowski from 670 The Score last week, that my biggest concern with DraftKings, and part of the reason why Joe pulled his account from DraftKings, is that there really weren't any controls in place at DraftKings from someone, say, who works at DraftKings, looks up a Sharks lineup, and then text their buddy, text a friend, say, hey, this is what this particular guy is going with. This procedure would prevent that sharing of confidential information until that information is publicly available. That's a really big step to regulating some potentially nefarious practices within the industry. It would also address the bill also addresses the number of entries someone could enter in a particular contest by taking, quote, reasonable steps to prevent players from submitting more than the allowable numbers. So the sites themselves, some contests have what they're called multi-entry contests, so you can enter almost however many contests you want, or there's a certain cap. So you could enter a contest, and then you see someone who's got 400 entries, 500 entries. Some have no cap on it. So this is going to put a cap on that, which I think is a reasonable thing. The bill would also define a fantasy contest as any fantasy or simulated game or contest in which winning participants are eligible for cash or anything else of value, and, quote, all winning outcomes reflect the relative knowledge and skill of the participants. That's a big thing for the DFS industry, because you've heard DFS operators, CEOs, you know, Jason Robbins and Nigel Eccles, the CEOs of DraftKings and FanDuel, respectively, have really long made the argument that the reason why DFS is legal is that it's not gambling, saying it's, quote, a game of skill. This bill would essentially define DFS as a game of skill, which is a huge win, and sort of shifts the narrative away from, is it gambling, is it a game of skill? You know, you heard Joe Ostrowski and me on the last fantasy podcast say, you know, yeah, it's both, it's not binary. But if the lawmakers are going to define this as a game of skill, that really would trend towards the winning side of the DFS operator argument. And finally, and I think this is really important, the bill would annually require a third-party independent audit with the results submitted to the Office of the Attorney General. That's huge. If you've got a yearly audit and you've got someone from outside these companies taking a look at what's going on and establishing best practices, that is a really good way to prevent fraud within the industry. Now, a couple things. This is not law yet. The Illinois General Assembly does not meet again until November. And Zelewski says he's going to push these plans when the budget stalemate ends in Illinois. Who knows when that budget stalemate is going to end? We're going on 4 months now. So we don't really know when exactly this is going to become law. But should it pass, it would take effect immediately. And it's I think it's some good protections for DFS players throughout the state of Illinois. And this may be a model then for the rest of the states that are taking a look at it. So Illinois may be breaking some ground within the DFS industry with the Fantasy Contest Act. The bill is HB 4323, and if you go to chicagofootball.com, we have a link to where it can be read in full if you want to check it out. I want to bring in Arthur Arkish now. Arthur, how's it going?
I'm doing well, John. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So let's get right to it with some of your top plays for the week. Let's start at quarterback. Who are some of the guys that you're looking at quarterback this week?
Well, yeah, just staying at the top, you know, obviously Tom Brady. I love what the Dolphins have done, but we'll see what Dan Campbell has in store heading to Foxborough to face the hottest quarterback on the planet. I don't know how the Patriots block Cameron Wake. I don't know what Patriots can actually hold on to passes this week, and I don't care if Tom Brady is the top play. I also like Phillip Rivers a lot going to Baltimore. We know a lot about the Ravens. Struggles across the board, and Phillip Rivers is dropping back to pass at a historic rate right now. And then Andy Dalton, of course, off the bye and headed to Pittsburgh to renew a really good rivalry, and he's been on fire. So those are my top three. A couple a bit further down, I like Cam Newton a lot playing the Colts. The Colts are a hot mess, and Cam Newton is really carrying that team right now. And then I also like Matt Ryan, who has not been as good, but he gets the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that should be a good remedy for any quarterback at this point. Lovie Smith talking about how that loss scarred him last week. A team that's built on defense has played very little of it this year.
Yeah, I'm with you on all those plays. I kind of like Ben Roethlisberger, who should be healthy this week. And if he's healthy, what do you think about Marcus Mariota against Houston? And Houston is just a pile of garbage right now across the board.
Yeah, another team that is in shambles for sure. Mariota wasn't playing great before the injury, and you know, you have to wonder what it does to the mobility a little bit that they were getting him out of the pocket coming off the knee. But yeah, you look to capitalize on these matchups, obviously, and the Texans, you know, I don't know if Bill O'Brien's going to last the season at this point. So yeah, I could see Mariota as kind of a sneaky play further down the line.
All right, running back, Todd Gurley number one, obviously,
against the Niners. I've got Gurley number two, actually. I go with Le'Veon Bell. I feel like he is kind of not underperformed, but hasn't been the Le'Veon Bell maybe we're used to. And even though he gets a really good Bengals defense, I think with Roethlisberger coming back, yeah, he's got a chance to really erupt, you know, obviously. And then Adrian Peterson going to Chicago was over 200 yards the last time he played the Bears in 2013, and he's actually been bottled up aside from a 74-yard run last week. That the offensive line hasn't been doing him any favors, but this Bears D-line situation is pretty concerning after cutting Jeremiah Ratliff during the bye week. They just put Ego Ferguson, a really good run stuffer, on IR, so I don't know who's going to try and block AP, and I expect he may get loose for another big-time day. Looking a little bit further down the list on that one, I like Mark Ingram a lot playing the Giants. The Giants had a really hard time with DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews last week. And Chris Johnson, who I think is the frontrunner for the Comeback Player of the Year Award, one of the best surprises in football right now. And, of course, he's going to get the Cleveland Browns, who still aren't doing much to stop the run.
Yeah, who would have thought Chris Johnson would have been fantasy relevant now for several weeks, and he gets the Browns.
Yeah. And Johnson's, you know, I'll be the first to admit it. When I have to eat a little bit of crow, I'm happy to do so. And CJ just looks like a different runner than the guy we've seen the past couple seasons, who was kind of tap dancing behind the line and was really a boomer bust guy with that speed. Now he is, I don't know, that touchdown run he had on Monday night showed really a little bit of everything, the ability to cut it back and the vision. And of course he still has that, that elite acceleration to turn it on in the open field. So a really nice season for him, and the Arizona Cardinals offense continues to roll.
Now, Arthur is also the NFC North correspondent for USA Today. So sticking in the NFC North, I want to ask about the changes in Detroit. Detroit fired their offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi, and hired or promoted one of my favorite names in all of football, Jim Bob Cooter. to offensive coordinator. What changes do you see happening with the Detroit offense with Lombardi gone and old Jim Bob moving up?
Yeah, it's a good question, and obviously Jim Bob Cooter, a funny name, but I'll tell you, it wasn't really that funny of a promotion. He was a guy who he's pretty highly thought of around the league. Actually, John Fox wanted to interview him to be his offensive coordinator this offseason. Detroit wouldn't allow him to go on that interview. So, you know, I think the biggest difference is obviously going to be a recommitment to the run game. I think that's what doomed Lombardi, of course, was the inability to feature the run game that they spent all offseason building. And the inability to overcome some offensive line woes that we've seen other teams, you know, able to overcome. So I think this could be a spike for Amir Abdullah. He has to hold on to the football, obviously. But, you know, I just think that Joyce Bell's back healthy. I don't think he's a great fantasy asset moving forward. But I think the run game is going to be heavily featured. And then if Eric Ebron can stay on the field, I think that's another exciting element to take a look at. Ron Prince is now looking over the tight ends and the offensive line, and Ebron had a nice game last week. We'll see if it's something he can build on. And of course, Calvin Johnson. I don't see Jim Bob Cooter forgetting that Calvin Johnson's on the field, which is of course another big issue that landed Joe Lombardi on the street looking for work today.
Yeah, Amir Abdullah, 3,900 on DraftKings, just kind of lurking there. So maybe
just gotta hold on to it, you know. And that's a big thing for a lot of rookie running backs right now. Melvin Gordon, same issue, and there's a few other guys as well that just they gotta get over the fumbles because they're costing their teams and they're you know, and they're losing the trust of their coaches.
All right, let's move on to wide receivers. I think I'm looking at Houston here with Arian Foster going down. I am in no hurry to go pick up an Alfred Blue or Chris Polk. I think that really none of those guys are fantasy relevant. I think DeAndre Hopkins goes back to being the incredible target monster that he was, and he gets the Tennessee secondary, which, you know, is not bad this year, but they're still not fantastic. So I've got Hopkins as my number one wide receiver this week. How about you?
Yep, I have him at number two, only Julio facing that Buccaneers defense we talked about. I have higher, and I see a bounce back coming from Matt Ryan and that Julio connection awakening. But absolutely, DeAndre Hopkins, the Texans were leading the NFL in passing attempts when they had Arian Foster. So I'm with you. Alfred Blue, Chris Pope, Jonathan Grimes, none of those guys excite me a bit. And we've seen that regardless of the quarterback, Hopkins can get it going, obviously. Had a quiet day last week. I don't expect that to happen 2 weeks in a row. And then Odell Beckham Jr. checks in at number three for me in New Orleans. He's headed back home, and I think he is going to have some tricks up the sleeve, whether it's Keenan Lewis or Brandon Brown or whoever's going to try and cover him. I think you can only keep Odell down so long, and I expect him to really beast this week. A couple much further down the list, going back to NFC North, Stephon Diggs, obviously there's no secrets with this one anymore, but it's pretty exciting what the fifth-round rookie has been able to do, and it's pretty troubling what the Chicago secondary has not been able to do. So that seems to be a mismatch that can really be exploited here. And you know me, I'm a big John Brown fan. He goes to Cleveland. The Browns secondary continues to be banged up. And John Brown, he really is kind of what makes that offense go with his speed and his ability to do so many things. And you know how I feel about that Arizona offense, and John Brown's going to be a strong play.
Stephon Diggs, 19 catches, 28 targets the past 3 weeks. Yes, please.
It's real, too. I mean, he doesn't look like a rookie out there. He's an advanced route runner, and that catch he made, it might be the catch of the year. I don't think you'll ever see a better touchdown. I think it was, 34, 35 yards. Sold out. He was parallel to the ground. It gave the Vikings their first lead they would never relinquish. That was a big time play for a fifth round rookie playing his third NFL game.
That was pretty fantastic. All right, let's move on to tight ends. Who you got? Gronk number one, I assume, and then after that, who you got?
Yeah, so look at the top. I've got Gronk number one, no question about it. Greg Olsen number two. Martellus Bennett number three. I don't think there's any real big surprises there. I guess I could have Travis Kelce a little bit higher, and I don't. I think this is the week where Marty has a chance to go off. He's had some drops over the past couple, and the Vikings, one of their few weaknesses on defense is trying to cover tight ends, and Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks are so exciting, but they've had some issues in coverage. So this could be a nice bounce back game for the Bears' leading receiver. Much further down the list, it shows you how weird of a season this is if the Seahawks defense is one that you're targeting when looking for tight end plays. And I think Jason Witten this week, Dez Bryant will have a chance to come back now. I think we said there was no way last week. We were obviously right about that. But Whether he's back or not, the Seahawks have had all kinds of issues covering tight ends, and Jason Witten has been the clear-cut number one target in that passing offense. And I also like Ladarius Green. It's troubling. I wish Antonio Gates was healthy because I thought he was poised to do some special things after the suspension. Obviously, he is not. He's got a knee issue. And we saw the Ravens' inability to cover tight ends Monday night. That secondary is really is struggling big time. And Ladarius Green has shown, whether it's a two tight end set, whether he's the only guy on the field, he's becoming a weapon for Phillip Rivers in that passing offense.
Yeah, I love Ladarius Green. I want to ask you one defense question. If I own the Denver Broncos defense, they've been, I think, clearly the top defense in fantasy football this year, but they get Green Bay at home. If I've got another defense, I mean, am I seriously taking a look at benching the Broncos defense this week because of the matchup?
That's a great question. You know, I guess it depends who your other defense is. I'm not sure you're going to just go, you know, poke some, you know, bottom third unit and plug them in instead of Denver. But if you had someone else really interesting, you know, say a Kansas City Chiefs who are playing in London against the Lions. Actually, the other team in that matchup, the Packers, I think is interesting against that Broncos offensive line, given some of the scoring issues Denver's had. Maybe you think about it, but I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, maybe it's kind of lame, but I kind of like to go with what's got you here. And if you have the Denver defense, they probably won you a week or two at this point. So they are playing at home. They are going to be well rested. They get the Marcus Ware back. I think you probably will with the Broncos.
All right, his name is Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, thank you very much.
John, it's my pleasure. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, let's close out the podcast with some news and notes. Arthur and I addressed this a little bit, but Antonio Gates, San Diego tight end, San Diego Union Tribune says Gates could now be out for a couple of weeks with an MCL injury. We saw Ladarius Green step in and do pretty well with Gates out. Against and now they get a really bad Baltimore defense. Ladarius Green's only 3,000 on DraftKings. He's available in probably about half of fantasy leagues right now. If he's available, I would definitely go out and pick up Ladarius Green, not only for this week, but until Gates is healthy, he's the option at tight end. We also addressed Ben Roethlisberger. He looks like he's on track to start on Sunday. He's got a really really good matchup at not a really good matchup, but he's got a good matchup at home. Pittsburgh at home with Ben Roethlisberger, much better than Pittsburgh on the road. I really like Roethlisberger coming back this week, and I don't. And if you're in daily, I don't mind pairing him with Antonio Brown, who clearly has missed Roethlisberger, and Martavis Bryant, who looked good this past couple of weeks as well. Stephon Diggs, we brought him up. He's for real. This is probably the last week you can go pick him up. He's available. Go do it right now. Darren McFadden is going to start Sunday for the Dallas Cowboys at running back. I'm not racing out to go get him. He's probably, you know, 15 to 18 touches, which isn't terrible. The Seahawks defense isn't what it was, and McFadden did run for 152 yards last week. But I'm avoiding the Dallas run game. You know, who knows what Christine Michael's going to do, and you know, Randall is questionable, but you know, stay tuned for the news on that. But I'm still not racing out to go pick up Darren McFadden. And the last thing, Charcandrick West seems to be the guy in Kansas City. Everyone was on him in week six. He did not do well, and then he came back and had a really nice week seven. And he gets the Lions this week, and the Lions, you know, will give up yards. So Charcandrick West, if he's available, maybe worth a pickup if you've got a running back on bye week. So that'll do it for the podcast this week. Don't forget to get all the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com for fantasy experts. And listen to our podcast each week as we get you prepared to help you win throughout the season. Our podcast is available on iTunes, so if you've not done so already, please head over and subscribe and never miss an episode. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Like the most dependable and longest-lasting trucks on the road, Chevy Truck Month rolls on. Check out all the Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com today and drive what Dan Hampton drives. Big thanks to our guest on the show today, Arthur Arkish. Our producer today was Dan Mott. I'm John Solly. For all of us at ChicagoFootball.com, we hope you have a great week of fantasy football.